Thank you, Church, for your attention tonight. Thank you for everyone else that wants to listen tonight. We're going to start a new mini-series tonight. It's in Romans chapter 13. If you'll turn your Bibles to Romans 13. It says in verse 9 of Romans 13, "For this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is fulfilling of the law. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than we believed. Verse 12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Verse 13, let us walk honestly in the day, not rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering or wantonness, not in strife and envy." And here's our title to our text in verse 14, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." We've titled this to put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason we did, and the reason we're preaching this message, is to make Christians everywhere that hear this aware that salvation is more than just being saved. Salvation is a new nature. Salvation is a new way of life. Salvation is different to us. It's not the same as what we had. Nowhere near the same. And we are not to be the same as we were. The Lord tells us to put away those things and to work in our new nature that God has given us through Jesus Christ our Lord. I've got an introduction here, and I'm going to go to some different scriptures in it. I'm going to take my time. I'm not in any hurry. So if you want to go ahead and turn to Colossians chapter 2, as we look at our Savior, and Jesus Christ, we need to look at him more seriously than just a Savior. And we need to look at him more than just our salvation. Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Listen to verse 10. "And you are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and powers." We sometimes look at this just as the Holy Spirit and the Father, or as the Godhead together, is the fullness of the Godhead in Christ bodily. But it's more than that. It also comes to us bodily. And I'll explain this more in detail. But it's more than that. It is not just divine excellence, but a divine nature that is in him. Now let's look at Acts chapter 17. And verse 29. "For as much then as we are the offspring of God," listen, "we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone or graven by art or man's desire." God is a being. He's not something we look at. He's not something we admire. He is a being with a nature. And we are in that being. We are in that nature. We have become God's children through Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ has done for us. He's not just a divine nature, but he's also a new nature in this life for us. His nature is our nature and our new nature that we have. Let me get a pencil. I keep trying to find my spot. I keep losing it. The Holy Spirit resides in us. He's there in every one of us that's saved. He came in. He's made a powerful work in us. And the first thing he did, what was it? He quickened our dead spirits, giving us eyes to see, giving us ears to be able to hear, giving us a heart to think with, a mind to think with, not here, but in our heart, in our spirit. He educates us. He leads us and guides us through that spirit. He talks to us. And he has not left. When God said, put on the Lord Jesus Christ, the thought is like unto a clothing. It is like wearing your new nature as a clothing in your life. That's what it is. You're putting on something different, something you haven't had. I go buy a new suit. I put it on. It's new, isn't it? I'm wearing it, aren't I? That's the way we are with our new nature. We are to wear it. It means various Christian qualities in our life. Verse 12 in our text, says the night is back in Romans chapter 9, 13, verse 12, says, the night is far spent and the day is at hand. What's he say after that? Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. So we are to cast off and put on the armor of light, like a clothing. We are to wear it, aren't we? Our instruments of war in this world to live in our divine nature that we have. An armor of light to fight the battle of this world. We now have a divine nature about us. It's a God-given nature. It's part of Him that He's given to us. It's not just a new nature. It's God's nature. God has made us family members. God has made us holy, sanctified, pure. He's taken all of our sins and cleansed them in the blood of Jesus. We no longer sin. We don't have any sins to account for. God will never make us account for one sin. It doesn't mean we have free reign to go out and do what we want to. It means that we're putting on a whole different nature. And that should make Christians act like they're different. There's something different about them. And he said back in our text, verse 12, let us put on the armor of light. Now, what's that remind us of? Well, it reminds us over in Ephesians 6, don't it? So if you'll go ahead and turn over to Ephesians 6. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 through 17, I'm not going to read that yet. But he says to put on the whole armor of God in verse 11. Well, what's the whole armor of God? It's like wearing an armor, isn't it? And the different parts of the armor he gives us is like putting them on. I'm not going to read it right now. We're going to go to it later. But he tells us in verse 11, chapter 6, verse 11, put on the whole armor of God. Why? That you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. It is because you're wearing your armor, because you're clothed in proper clothing as a human with your new nature, that you're able to withstand the wiles of the devil. Excuse me. wear the armor of God so that when temptation, trials, tribulations, persecutions come from Satan and his workers in this world, you can survive as a child, as Christ did, as a child of God should. We are survivors in the Lord, and we can survive in the Lord. We don't have to cave to the world. We don't have to cave to Satan, and we ought not to cave to the world, and we ought not cave to Satan. Go to Matthew chapter 4, if you will. Let's go over and look at Christ and his temptation with Satan. And then we're going to go back some different scriptures in. And we're almost to our first point. I'm sorry, my allergies are acting up. Jesus said to Satan in his temptation in Matthew chapter 4, verse 10 and 11, then said Jesus unto them, to get hint thee hint, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. That's what the Lord says for us to do. That's putting on the Lord, isn't it? That's in your divine nature. You are going to work and worship in the Lord Jesus Christ and the Lord our God. He said, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him. And then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. God told us to put on our armor of light, didn't he? Jesus had on his armor, didn't he? He had his divine nature, didn't he? And he withstood the devil, didn't he? We can too. It is not impossible. Don't say Satan's getting to you. Satan only gets to you if you let Satan get to you. The world only gets to you if you let the world get to you. Christians that don't have better sense only get to you if you let them get to you. If you are fighting, if you are living in your divine nature in Jesus Christ that God has given to you, that new nature, as long as you're doing what the Holy Spirit tells you in the Word to do, you will never do what Satan wants. There was no way Jesus was going to fall into temptation. He has a divine nature. He doesn't have a human nature about him. He doesn't have the old man about him. He's divine. He was God in the flesh. We have that about us, don't we? So the Lord told us Ephesians 6:11, not only are we put on our armor of light, we're put on the whole armor of God. And wear it. We too can resist Satan because we are put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 14 of our text in Romans 13. Our commitment in life must be our happiness by being clothed in Jesus Christ, because seeking more will cause kinks in our armor. The Lord tells us over and over and over in his word to be content. Contentment is the greatest thing a Christian has. The willingness to serve the Lord and never look for more than what God gives you. Always being happy with where the Lord has you. God knows what we have need of before we ever ask. God supplies all of our needs. We are his children. We lack nothing in the Lord. God gives us and we have everything we need. We don't need Satan. We don't need the world. We don't need those that don't know no better. We need to wear our clothing, which is Jesus Christ. Being a Christian means more than being saved. being a Christian means that you belong to God, that you are now a child of the living God, and that God has given you a new nature. What nature? His divine nature, a righteous nature, a holy nature. You're not going to carry this old nature with you. You'll carry the new one with you. And that's one you will have in heaven. That's the one we need to lean on. And the only way we can keep doing it is to keep ourselves clothed in the Lord Jesus Christ and keep our armor full and always on. So let's go to our first point. And we're going to go to Galatians 3 in a minute and be there for a little bit in our first point. So what's the Lord mean when he says to put on Christ? He said in verse 14 of our text, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. So exactly what does he mean? It makes you a completely different person. It's a shame when people cannot tell a difference between a Christian and a lost person. That's a disgrace to all that God did. That's a disgrace to all that Christ has done. Christ has made it possible for us to be different. He's transformed us from Satan to Christ. God did in salvation. He gave us to Christ before the foundation of the world. Jesus Christ died for us. He gave his blood for us. He gave his life for us, so that we could have new nature, so that we could live like him. We are different people. But you find Christians today that don't act like they're different. Look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. He says, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, every one of you. Children of God. By faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. We're going to get to that in a minute. That's over in Romans. We're going to get to that, so I'm not going to get on that right now. And he says in verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Clothed the same. We're all the same in Christ. We're the children of God. That's what we are, folks. We all have new divine natures about us. We're not different. It's not black and white and yellow and red. It's not Russian and American or Chinese and America or Canadians in America. We're all one in Christ. Whether Jew or Gentile, does not matter. We're still all one, no matter what we are. And if you be in Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. It don't matter what you are, Jew or Gentile. You're all spiritually Abraham's seed, all of us. And all the promises God made to Israel, all the promises that God made to Abraham is ours too. The Lord said in Romans 10 that he has some not of this fold. That's us. But we are all one in Christ. How can we be one if we're different? How can we be one if we're separate? If we was all to go up here to a clothing store, every one of us, men and women alike, and buy a suit of clothes, and all dress alike, we'd all be one, wouldn't we? We'd all be just alike, wouldn't we? That's what we're talking about. We all do wear one suit of clothes. And that suit of clothes that we wear is the Lord Jesus Christ. If we put it on, we have put it on. It's what we're wearing. A lot of Christians are not wearing the Lord Jesus Christ every day. They're wearing their old nature. Anyway, we'll get back to some of this. I'm just hitting what it is to put on Christ. Second, in Galatians chapter 3, stay there. We got some more scriptures. Putting on Christ is living in righteousness. You don't put on Christ and wear your own old suit, do you? No, you put on Christ and you live in Christ. You walk your life in Christ. Listen to chapter 3 of Galatians, verse 10 through 12. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Listen to verse 11, though, and 12. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident. For the just shall live by faith. How's the just going to live? By faith. Abraham was righteous of God because he believed God, didn't he? We believe God in Christ. The record of God that you shall have eternal life in Jesus Christ. That's our faith. That's what we believe. And he says in verse 12, and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Well, we certainly don't want to live in the law, do we? Why should we? Christ lived them for us, didn't he? Isn't that wonderful? People out here thinking they do good works. They're thinking they live the law. And all they're doing is failing God on every hand. They're still lost, not knowing that they're going to hell. They think they're going to heaven, but they're not. We put on Christ by faith. We put on a whole different nature. It's not like the old man. It's totally different. The old man is sinful. The new nature is divine, isn't it? The new nature is Christ, isn't it? We're not ever going to live in works for salvation, but because our salvation is not in works of law. It is not a justifier, the law isn't. It's a condemner, isn't it? It's also a schoolmaster to teach us that we fail God. But after salvation, it should be not done away with. People say, well, we don't have to live to keep the commandments. Who said? What? Did Christ void the Ten Commandments? Can you show me in the Bible where God said that Christ voided the Ten Commandments? Or that Christ voided any commandments? Or that Christ voided out works? No, it's not there. Why did God write the Ten Commandments? That's His law, isn't it? God does not change. If it was His law thousands of years ago, it's the law today, isn't it? It doesn't ever change. It's still His law. Every law that He says in His Word, love thy neighbor as thyself. That's a commandment. That's a law. Love one another as Christians. That's a commandment. That's the law. He said this, I give you a new commandment. To love one another. To pray without ceasing. That's a commandment. That's the law of God. All of these are the law of God. They're not voided in Christ. Christ accomplished them for us, didn't He? But that doesn't mean that we're not to do them. You're still not to let anything come between you and God. You're still not to go out there and kill your unborn babies or go out and murder anybody else. You're still not to steal or cheat. Are we perfect? We are in our divine nature. We are in Christ. But yes, we do have our downsides, don't we, in this world? We still have our old nature. As long as we have it, we will have failures. But that's not an excuse to fail. That's an excuse, or that's a reason, I should say, to do better next time. The thought of living in the Word of God as Christ did may seem overwhelming to us. I heard people say, well, we're not Christ. Who said we're not? Who said we're not? It says, what's our title? What did God say in Romans chapter 13, verse 14? To put on Christ. Dress yourself in Christ, didn't he? See, people look for excuses. God has forgiven all of our trespasses through Christ. What else can we ask for? So being born again, being born with a new divine nature, makes you a completely different person, doesn't it? I hope you're still in Galatians 3. We got some more to talk about there. Drop down now. You went in the middle, then you went up. Now you're going down. And go down to verse 26. Well, you are all the children of God by faith, for as many as have been baptized into Christ, put on Christ. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm way past that. So the thought here is living in the Word of God. I told you, pencil, I need to learn to use it. So what is the new, our second point is this. We're putting on Christ. That's what it means to put on Christ. So what is the new garment of Christ we are to wear? I'm glad you asked. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. I see people, preachers, marking their papers when they preach. I'm too smart for that. See, that's the reason I keep messing up. So what is the new garment of Christ we're supposed to wear? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 53 through 54 says, for this corruption must be put on incorruption. Wow. He said, well, this is after we're raptured from the grave. Well, that's true, but it's also true today, isn't it? Aren't we supposed to strive toward incorruption? Aren't we supposed to strive every day and every part of our life by putting on Christ to serve our divine nature and not our human nature? For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruption shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall thou be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. That don't have to be in the resurrection, does it? It can be in this life too, isn't it? That death is swallowed up in victory. We sang Victory in Jesus. It's one of my most favorite songs. Victory in Jesus. We have victory in Jesus, do we not? I love Blessed Assurance. It's probably my most favorite. I sometimes tear up when I sing it because it's such a beautiful song. And besides, I want to tell you, Fanny Crosby, if you've never watched anything about Fanny Crosby and you don't know anything, she's wrote a lot of songs in our hymnal. YouTube has a beautiful biography of her. You need to go watch that. She's a wonderful lady. But anyway, we are to put off ourselves. Now, we can't do it ourselves, but we control all the things in our life, don't we? I mean, if I surrender to Satan, I surrender to this world. If I surrender to sin, I do that. God didn't do that. I did it. Right? If I sin, I sin. God doesn't cause me to sin. I sin on my own. God says in James, when you're tempted, don't blame God. God ain't the one that tempted you with sin. He neither sins nor tempts with sin. It is our job to put on incorruption, to put on immortality. Because death is swallowed up in victory. So while it's true, this is our resurrection to the glorified our new bodies, and then we will be perfect, won't we? We will. Our souls has already been glorified. Your spirits have been made alive from death. They've already been glorified. The only thing lacking is our bodies. We still live in this world. We still sin. We still do things we shouldn't do, and we ought to be embarrassed by them. We ought to be ashamed by them. I'm afraid some Christians today are okay with it. Go to James chapter 2, if you will. So putting on Jesus Christ putting on Jesus Christ is his merit and righteousness. Wearing them. Let me ask you something. If I put on a blue suit on Sunday morning and wear it out, and somebody looks at me, what are they going to see? They're going to see that I have a blue suit on, aren't they? When you go out into the world, if you're wearing Christ, that's what they ought to see. They ought to see your new nature. They ought to see the divine attributes about you. They ought not see sin. They ought not see that you surrender to Satan, and you surrender to man, and you surrender to these worlds. You surrender to sinfulness. Putting on Jesus Christ is his merit and righteousness. This is part of our justification. So is our living in Christ. Not just faith, but works also. Works is not a part of salvation. God has made that so plain and clear in his scriptures that only a fool would believe such a thing. But God also did not eliminate works from the Christian. This is some very grossly misinterpreted scripture here. I'm going to give you the truth of it. James chapter 2, verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and have not works? Can faith save him? Good question, isn't it? Go to verse 17 and 18. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man say, thou hast faith, I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Works isn't part of salvation. Works is a result of salvation. Your salvation and putting on Christ is a reason you have works. Paul said of Israel, who believes in works for salvation, Paul said of Israel that they have a knowledge and a zeal. I'm sorry, they have a zeal, but it's not according to knowledge. Their knowledge is not God's knowledge. So when people see us, they should see our works. And I've got to a long part here, so I'm going to stop right there. But this will be our third of that section right there. So we will get to that next week. Next Wednesday night, we will pick up there with our part two. And we will probably have 2 or 3 more weeks of this. But I want you to understand where I'm coming from. Putting on Christ is not like being before. Christians, they think they're saved. They think they're saved. And they have no works. The Lord just said you can have faith and no works and be dead. Faith without works is dead. 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 I'll show you my faith by my works. I'm dressing myself. Every day I dress myself in Christ before I leave, before I walk out. And my whole day is about Jesus Christ. Not just Wednesdays, not just Sundays, or not every third Sunday, or not every fifth Sunday, or not every 6 months, or not the CEO Christian who is Christmas, Easter only. But the Christians that's been saved by the grace of God through the actions and the works of Jesus Christ. What is a Christian? Define that. In Antioch, it was given to them as an insult, but to us, we wear it like a shield of glory because it means that we are Christ-like. The problem is so many Christians, so-called, are nothing like Christ. I mean, you can't even get them in a church house. I mean, what's the most severe thing a Christian ought to do? First thing you do after you're saved is what? You get baptized. And you join the church. That ought to be the first thing you do. Because the Lord told the church to go into all the world preaching the gospel and baptizing those that's been saved. And then teaching them and making disciples out of them. But people don't want to go to church. Look at us. We're a skeleton. We're as thin as a person that ain't eaten 900 days. Because people don't want to go to church. They're too busy. They're not wearing Christ. Their garment is not sufficient. Because people look at them and they'll say, I didn't know they was a Christian. I didn't know that person even went to church. They don't act like they go to church. The way they talk, they don't go to church. I had a man tri-state up there one time. He came here one time. He wouldn't come back because I wouldn't let him preach. And all he does, walks around cussing everybody out all the time. People come up to me, is that what you Christians are like? I said, hey, I don't know what he is. He ain't like me. He's not preaching my pulpit. I'll tell you that for sure. Anyway, let's all stand. Have a wonderful day and a wonderful night.